Let's open our Bibles to the book of First Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I was actually working on a message, another message from Revelation chapter 8, and I was working on my introduction. Well, the introduction developed into an entire message, and so we'll get back to Revelation 8. The Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But I do feel like the Spirit of God led me to this, and I hope it will be magnifying to our God, and it will be of benefit to all of His dear children. And maybe God will be pleased even to use the gospel as it goes forth today to rescue one of His lost sheep. You know, about 6,000 years ago, give or take a few, God made this world and He made all things in it. The scripture says on the day number 6 of creation, He made Adam and He breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. And everything in that garden was very much alive. There was no corruption, no decay, nothing like the world is today. There was no death, only life. No wonder it's called paradise. No death, just life. It was a perfect world, immaculate, an immaculate garden. God put them in. A garden filled with beauty, full of all sorts of flowers and shrubs and bushes and trees. There were all kinds of fruit trees that bore crops, bore fruit that never had to spray them for bugs. Whatever garden maybe Adam planted, he never had any pestilence. No difficulty with any kind of pests that would eat up his crops. He just picked the produce, ate it, enjoyed it. There was no disease. It was a garden full of animals. None of them were wild. Think of it, all were domesticated. Even, you know, the animals today that are wild, back then they weren't. They weren't even meat eaters back then. They just grazed in lush meadows. As in Isaiah talks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb, that's the way it was. They just lay there together. Got along just fine. It was a day of no kind of pollution. Everything was pure. Everything was free from any kind of contamination. In that original garden, everything was full of life. In fact, I would say that ever since Adam fell, we must say that there's never been a time in the history of the world that was so full of life as it was before Adam's fall. It's absolutely full of life. And the man that God made Adam, oh, he was full of vitality, full of energy. Didn't get old, didn't get feeble, full of strength. Never got sick. No such thing as disease. He used the Think about his intellect. How he used—he'd named all the animals. You know that? This is a very intelligent man. He said, "Boy, I don't know how a fella could do that." Well, take away this off thing called sin. Be amazing what we could do, wouldn't it? But he was, you talk about a genius. He would have been a genius because he never lost any these brain cells like we lose. The garden was full of life. You know, God told Adam of every tree of the garden they must freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I don't know, God, things went well for a while. God gave Adam a wife. After the fall, Adam gave his wife a name, Eve. After the fall, she got the name, the mother of all living. Her name means life giver. Because each of us descended from Eve. But I really think her name was the name that Adam gave to her, Eve, the mother of all living. I think the reason he gave her that name was because of the message of God after they fell. God said, the seed of the woman is coming. And therefore he gave right after the fall, in fact, right after that, after God said that, just a couple of verses down, Adam gave to his wife a name, Eve. She's the mother of all living. That is, she'll be the mother of the one who's going to come to straighten things out. Well, she wasn't actually, she didn't give birth to the one, but many, many, many years later, one of her descendants did. Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, would save his people from their sin. But back to the point, everything in the garden was alive. And never has God's creation been so alive as it was then. But then something happened. Adam's transgression. And God's word came to pass. He said, the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam ate, and he died. He died. Just like God said. How did he die? Well, he died spiritually. He would die physically. And except for the grace of God, he would have died the second death. That everlasting death. But not only did Adam die, but all of his offspring died too. That's the reason we're born dead in trespasses and sins. You see, that death wasn't limited to one man. That death was given over to all of us. And not only to all of mankind, but all of creation suffers from what that first man did. That's the reason plants die, flowers die, trees die, animals die. All of God's creation suffers from what that first man did. The animals, many of the animals, they became unruly. And you buy your dog, you're going to have to train him. And there are some animals you best stay away from because they became meat eaters. And this is the reason. S-I-N. That's the reason. That's the reason. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the overall theme of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as you know, is resurrection. The resurrection of Christ Jesus. And consequently, the resurrection of all of his people in the final resurrection. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death. that is by one man. Since by one man, and you notice that word, C-A-M, it came as italicized. The men who translated the King James Version did an outstanding job, and they were guided by divine providence, and I don't have any question about that. But they, in order to make that sentence kind of more full, more complete, grammatically, they put that word in there, but he says, since by man, death. Death. Death overall. By man also, there's the word Cain again, by man also, that is another man. Not that first man. That first man didn't bring life. That first man didn't bring resurrection. That first man, he brought death. He brought death. But there's going to be another man, and he's already come. After Adam's fall, after Adam plunged us all into spiritual death, 4,000 years later, another man came. He's the Lord of glory. By that man, resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Now look at verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. Does that all refer to everybody he represented? All of Adam's seed. All of his posterity. All who live as a result of the corruptible seed of man. All die. All die. And you know what? We're dying today. We're dying people. I know we're living, but like somebody wrote many years ago that the moment we begin to live in our mother's womb and that heart beats, it's beating a drum beat, a cadence that'll end death. That drum beat's going to end, so that heart beat's going to end someday. As in Adam, all die. All die whenever it pleases God. How long am I going to live, preacher? As long as God gives you life. As long as God sustains you. As long as God gives you breath. As long as He's ordained. Your months are numbered. Your days, your hours are numbered. And you're not going to pass that boundary. And you'll die. For as in Adam, all die. We all died in Adam. I'll show you that from Romans 5 in just a minute. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, this is another all. That first all is pertaining to all that Adam represented, all of his seed. Then, the Apostle Paul writes of Christ Jesus, and he writes of his all, that is all of his seed, all of his posterity, that is all of those given to him in the covenant of grace. So all that Adam represented, they died. We died. We died in the garden. We died spiritually, right then and there. We all died. That's the reason the Bible says, not good, not just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all die. When that man died, we die. Even so in Christ, something else is going to happen. Shall all he represented be made alive. Alive. Before the fall, no death. After the fall, death. Before the fall, no disease. After the fall, diseases. And that's just normal. Normal sickness and then death. Go back to Romans 5. Now I want you to turn back just to one book. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. In the book of Romans chapter 5, in verses 6 through verse 10, we have here's the apostle writing, setting forth the condition of all of those in whose stead the Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom. He says in verse 6, when we were yet without strength, that's the first thing, we had no strength. No strength, no spiritual ability. In due time, Christ died for, here's the second way he describes us, the ungodly, those who are without God, those who are idolatrous. So we're without strength, number one. Number two, we're ungodly. Look down at verse 8. But God commended, God manifested, God gave full evidence of his love toward us, in that while we were yet, here's the third word, we were sinners. All of us were sinners. Without strength, ungodly, we're sinners. What did Christ do? Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were, here's the fourth word, enemies. Well, what a way to describe us. Without strength, ungodly, sinners, enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, drop that. That's our condition. All of us. The way God describes us. Now, you get down to the verse number 12. And this is where, the Apostle Paul, he gives us the origin, how did we ever get in this mess? How did we get in this? How did we ever become without strength and ungodly and sinners and enemies? How did we get that way? Well, this is how we got this way, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, this is what happened, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That is, all have sinned in Adam. That's what that means. All have sinned in Adam. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin isn't imputed, it isn't charged when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the same way of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come. In other words, here's what the apostle is doing here. He's setting forth two representative men. And he says, on the one hand, here's Adam. And this is the one, as he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is the one in whom we died. His act of disobedience had a devastating effect upon all of us, upon everybody he represented, upon everybody he stood for. And like it or not, you fell through a representative's disobedience. You did. Lucifer, he fell by act of rebellion against God, and the third of the angels who fell, they fell also due to their rebellion against God, but they didn't fall in Lucifer. They didn't fall through a representative. They fell individually. But you know, you and me, we fell through a representative. Now, we also have our own personal guilt. Now, we're guilty as well. But Adam's transgression has been charged to us. That's just the way it is. And in Adam, we died. We died. We died spiritually. And unless God does something for us, we're going to die forever. But we're surely going to die physically unless the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. But here's the good news. Thankfully, God has given us another representative man. Actually, this representative man was given to us before the world began. because Christ Jesus received us, all of his elect, all of his people, as a gift from the Heavenly Father before he ever made the world. Adam was a figure. That's what it says here in verse 14, right at the end, who was a figure of him that was to come. In what way was he a picture of Christ Jesus? In this way, he is a representative. He was a representative man. In this identical way. And as you read down through the rest of Romans chapter 5, which we don't have the time to do this morning because I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and show you some things there. But just as Adam was our representative and his disobedience had a devastating effect upon all of us, we died. Even so, in that same way, by imputation, our Lord Jesus, our substitute, our representative, he was obedient to the Father. His obedience extended all the way to death. And by his obedience, everybody he represented are made righteous. So whereas we fell by representative man, we're raised up by representative man. As we became lost by representative man, we became found by representative man. As we became unrighteous or wicked through a representative man, we became righteous through another representative man. And you need to understand that, and I know most of you do. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 then. Now, as all death can be traced back to Adam, physical, spiritual, and the second death, all life is to be traced to Christ Jesus. Physical life, in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17. All physical life is to be traced to him. All spiritual life, the Son quickeneth whom he will. Are you alive this morning? Do you believe the gospel of redeeming grace, of substitution and satisfaction? Do you believe the word of God? Do you look to Jesus Christ alone for all of your salvation, for all of the forgiveness of your sins? Is he your only hope? It's because you're spiritually alive. Alive. God made you alive by his word, the spirit of grace. He took the word of God. He put it in your heart. And that incorruptible word of God generated life within you. Not physical life. You already had that. But spiritual life, something you didn't have before. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which we preach unto you, even the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is the purpose of God. He who chose us unto salvation, who has redeemed us as a result of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. He sent to all of those who are the heirs of salvation. And the Spirit of grace takes the gospel which we hear with these ears and he puts it in the heart. And miraculously and mysteriously we're made alive and we reach out to Jesus Christ and we take hold of him with the arms of faith. Only because he took hold of us with his almighty arms of grace. We've been made alive. We're alive. We're not dead anymore. We're alive unto God. We're alive to the scriptures. We're alive to the things that really matter. Well, now look at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, we read 21 and 22. Look at verse 23. Now he's just said in verse 22, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In verse 23 he says, but every man in his own order. Our God's a God of order. Don't you like orderliness? I like order. That's just the way my mind is programmed. I like order. I don't like disarray. I don't like things being messed up. If my office looks messed up, believe me, it's orderly to me. I can find what I need to find because everything's in order. May not look in order to you, but everything is in order. And the world As we look at it, it may not look orderly to you, but everything's in order because God rules. Isn't that right? And in this resurrection, there is going to be a resurrection, but every man in his own order. Number one, Christ the first fruits. Well, you say there were others who were raised from the dead before our Lord Jesus. The widow's boy. The little girl. Lazarus. Yeah, but they were raised to die again. That's not a real resurrection, the kind of resurrection he's talking about. Our Lord Jesus, he is himself the first fruits of them that sleep, because he arose never to die again. Never to die again. His body, when he came into this world, the Son of God, the Son of Man, his body was made in such a way that it was likened to our bodies in lots of ways. Of course, it had no sin. It had no decay. No disease. But he became weary and hungry and things like that. You know all about those things. But his body was made in such a way he could die. And he had to die because death is the penalty for our ungodliness. The soul that sinneth shall die. Somebody's got to die for our sins. But the death of you, or the death of me, or anybody else is not going to satisfy God's justice, because when he pours out his wrath on us, it just sinks us to the lowest hell. But another man came, the Lord of glory. He came into this world a real man. And when all the sins of all of God's people met on him and all of the wrath of God fell on him, he bore it all because he's the God-man. This man, Christ Jesus. And he died. He died. A real death. He didn't go into a coma. He died. But then he came back in a body that'll never die again. Never die again. You see, that's why the mass is wrong. It's the killing of Jesus Christ all over again. He was raised. Get rid of your crucifixes. Get rid of those. Get rid of your crosses. He's not on a cross. He's not in the tomb. He's in glory. He ever liveth to make intercession for his people, is what the scripture says. He's the first fruits. He was raised first. First. Order. There's order in God's kingdom. Well, then, there is going to be a resurrection of his people. That's the next order of business. One day the Lord's coming back. We're beginning to study the seven trumpets of judgment. The first six warn of the seventh. When that last trumpet sounds, that's to notify everybody. This is the end. The end. What's the order then? What's the order? When that last trumpet shall sound, time shall be no more. What's the order? Our Lord Jesus is coming back. The souls of all those who've died are coming back with him. What's the next order? Those who are dead, those who died in Christ Jesus, going to be raised. That's next order of business. And all of those dear folks, many of our loved ones, and millions of people we've never met, but we'll know them in heaven. I think we'll know all the family, don't you? I think we'll know all of our brothers and sisters. But they're going to be raised. This mortal's got to put on immortality. This corruption's got to put on incorruption. Next order of business is Christ is going to shout in the voice of the archangel. That archangel being himself, Christ Jesus. Trumpet shall sound, and they're coming out of the graves. That'd be glorious. They're coming out of the graves. Death can't keep them any longer. And the soul's going to be joined back to that body, and it's going to be a body likened to our Lord's body. Never going to die again. No more tears, no more disease, no more sickness, no more sin. You see, all the things that we have trouble with, all the aches and pains and infirmities and afflictions of the flesh, it's all due to sin. Get rid of sin, get rid of the problem. That's the real problem. Let's just not lop off branches here. Let's just get to the root of the issue. The root of the issue is S-I-N, sin. That's the root. When our Lord Jesus raises us, our bodies, free from sin. Man alive. We're not going to age. What are we going to be like? Somebody said, I think everybody be the age of the Lord Jesus when he died. I don't know. I don't know. Best not go beyond the scripture. That's what I figured out a long time ago. But I'll tell you this, we'll all be perfect. No more feebleness and all of that. We'll be raised. Then, what's the next order? Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord with them. And we're going to be changed if we happen to be alive then. We'll be changed. You say, boy, this is going to take a long time. It'll happen in a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Just that fast. I don't see how you can do that. I don't see how you can create the world. There's a lot of things that boggle my mind. But you forget who you're talking about. You're talking about God. To my God, he's going to bring everything to an end just like that, and it's all going to happen. Now, there's an order to it, but it's going to happen quickly. And somebody else is going to be raised. Those who've died without Christ, they got to be raised too. I believe in a general resurrection. The dead got to be raised, those who are dead in sin. Their soul's going to be brought back from the destruction that they're experiencing now. Their body's going to be raised. And you know what? They're going to have a miraculous body themselves. Oh, it's not going to be a glorified body, but they're going to have a body that will be able to be utterly separated from God with their souls forever and never be destroyed. Never age anymore. That's a miracle too. We forget about that. And God's going to put them all away down in a deep pit where they'll have to suffer his wrath forever and ever. Body and soul, because body and soul, they rebelled against God. Body and soul, they were sinful. Before they're cast into everlasting destruction, everlasting hell, they'll face God at the judgment and hear those frightening words, depart from me, I never knew you. I sure hope none of y'all ever hear those words. You who are watching on the internet, I don't want you to hear those words. Oh, that God be gracious to you. Oh, that God be merciful to you. Oh, that God would waken up you and awaken those of us in this auditorium to the reality of salvation in Jesus Christ, to the reality of our own wickedness and ungodliness and our need of a great mediator. That's the order. Christ the first fruits, verse 23, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And look at verse 24. Then cometh the end. A most interesting word, this little three-letter word, end. It means the termination or the last in a grouping, the last in a series. This is the finish. This is a definite goal that is finally reached. This is what everything is aiming at. Then cometh the end. ever since God made the world, everything is being guided and directed to this end. This is the cessation of time. This is the destination to which God's been guiding things. It's like this great big world, in fact, all of his universe, God is directing it. He's guiding it to this point. The end. That's the goal. That's where everything's being directed to. Well, what is the goal of all things? What is the end of all things? Well, the end is when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. What's the goal of all things? To what end are all things moving and proceeding? Everything is moving toward this goal, the day when the Lord Jesus will present the kingdom to his Father. That's what everything's moving toward, that goal. It's not moving toward a goal of doing something over in the Middle East. Everything is moving toward this end, toward this goal, toward this. This is the point. When the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, presents the kingdom to the Father. Well, what is the kingdom? Well, it's also expressed this way. We could express it this way. It's when the shepherd will present the sheep to the Father. This is the goal. This is what everything's being directed toward. This is the point. There is a point out there somewhere. Our God has ordained it. Our God has appointed it. When all of those entrusted to the Savior, all of those sheep given to this great shepherd, the good shepherd, the seeking shepherd of the sheep, when all of those sheep will be presented by Christ Jesus to the Father, when he will say to the Father, of all those that thou hast given me, I've lost none. I've lost none. In John chapter 6, this is the Father's will, that of all the which he hath given me, I should lose not a one. Here they all are. Here's all the sheep. I tell you what it means. Here's that goal. It's that day when the bridegroom will present his bride to the Father, having washed them in his blood. Presenting his bride a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. That's the goal. That's the end. That's the end of a long, long series. So that's what this is the point. All of these other things, all of the things that are going on in the world now that have been going on ever since God's creation, everything has always been pointing to this is the goal. That glorious day when the bridegroom who loved us and gave himself for us shall say to the Father, here's the bride. Dressed in my beauty, washed in my blood, robed in my righteousness. Father, here they are. It's the day when our elder brother will present his brethren to the Father. That's the goal. That's the end. And he will say, behold, I and the children that thou hast given me. It means the king will deliver the kingdom up to the Father. This is a spiritual kingdom. It is the family of God. It is every elect soul of all the ages. Washed, glorious, spotless, no blemish, there will be. What a day. What a day. That, my friend, is the end of all things. Don't ever lose sight of that. You know, I used to run track. Some of y'all ran track. Some of you still run. I know at least one in here, a couple in here still run track. I was a distance runner. Come around that final bend, I keep my eye on the finish line. It isn't how you start, it's how you wind up, it's how you finish. Keep your eye on the finish line. I always had a good kick. I was a distance runner. Some of you, I don't mean kicking with your foot. I had an extra gear I could put it into. And it'd be once in a while, not very often, but once in a while there'd be somebody in front of me. And he'd kind of look over his shoulder like that. You know what he did? Took his eye off the goal. And I'd go by him. It's like if you shoot basketball. But keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on what you're aiming at. Let me tell you something. Everything's aiming toward this end. And we would do well to keep our eyes on that end, that day when we'll be with Christ Jesus. It puts everything else into perspective. All of the lows of life, all the troubles of life. We got to keep this the end. What's the end going to be? I know there's a lot involved in getting to the end, but look to the end. The end is we'll be with Christ in glory. He's going to present me and you and all of His children to the Father. That's the end. And I'm not even going to get even still to the main point of the message. So this is the end. And I'll pick up tonight and try to talk to you about He shall reign. He shall reign.